listening to the Caffeinated Thoughts Podcast. Hi, this is Shane Vanderhart. Happy Friday. Today, to end our week, I wanted to talk about church security because this really came into focus last Sunday. I'm obviously no expert. I wanted to talk with somebody who is, and I found Timothy Miller. He's the president and founder of Lionheart International Services Group. He's a 30-year law enforcement and military professional. He's currently a security consultant. When he was in the Marines, he commanded a special security force that protected nuclear weapons. As a Marine reservist, he provided training on security protocols. He's been a law enforcement officer, a police officer with Fairfax County Police in Fairfax, Virginia. But then he became a special agent with the United States Secret Service, assigned to the Washington Field Office. He coordinated all aspects of security for the president, vice president, and foreign heads of state on a regular basis. And now he's an expert with church security consulting. He's currently the director of security at Christ Fellowship in South Florida. It's a church, a multi-site church with 30,000 people who attend. So before we get to that interview, first a word from our sponsors. Hi, this is Shane Vanderhart, editor of Caffeinated Thoughts. Should something, heaven forbid, happen to you, will your family be ready? One of the most important things you can do for your family is to make sure they are provided for after you're gone. Whether you're currently without life insurance or you're not happy with your current plan, Travis Riswold of Modern Woodmen of America can help. Give Travis a call at 515-883-0029. That's 515-883-0029. Travis Riswold of Modern Woodmen of America. He can help you find the life insurance you need.
At American Principles Project, we believe that human dignity should be at the heart of public policy. We work in all 50 states and in Washington, D.C. to promote life, religious freedom, local control over education, authentic economic progress for working Americans, and a return to constitutional principles such as federalism. Want to help American Principles Project? Visit our website today, AmericanPrinciplesProject.org. That's AmericanPrinciples, P-L-E-S, project.org. Sign up for email updates. Help us out. We want to work with you. That's AmericanPrinciplesProject.org.
And we're back. Without further ado, here's my conversation with Timothy Miller. Well, hey, thanks, Tim, for talking with me. My first question for you is basically, what... as you see it right now, what are some of the problems that currently exist with a lot of churches and their security?
Well, Shane, I think there are a number of issues facing churches. Some of them are budget. Some of them are, we just don't know what to do. But I think the greatest challenge is most churches don't see a need for security. I think Sunday reminded us that regardless of the size of your church, there's an absolute need to protect your flock. And I think pastors understand that we're in warfare, but oftentimes they'll associate that only with the spiritual. But right. There's certainly now in today's world, there's an absolute requirement that we begin to physically protect our flock as well. So I think this is a great opportunity for pastors who maybe haven't had that focus to begin to think about, wow, what things do I need to do to make our church safer, because it's only in a safe environment that pastors are able to do what God's called them to do.
That's true. I remember seeing, remember thinking back to the New Life Church shooting in Colorado Springs, mm-hmm. how they had, armed security, and they were able to meet the shooter out in the parking lot before he even made it inside the church building. Is that something that's key, to have somebody that's actually outside the sanctuary keeping watch as far as what's going on?
Yeah, that actually, one of the things we train security teams to really think through, when I was with the Secret Service, we called it concentric circles of protection. Other call it layers of protection. But just think about it. If something was going to happen at a church, if a violent individual was to show up, where would you want it to be engaged? Well, as far away from people as possible.
Right.
And for most churches, that is the parking lot. Unfortunately, in Antioch and in Texas, you know, the shooter actually started shooting in the parking lot, and they didn't have really any plan for how to stop the shooter or any plan to even lock down the sanctuary. So, yeah, I've been all week encouraging pastors to just start this Sunday with having someone out in the parking lot with a radio or some way to communicate, because if you can identify them out there and you're able to address it, slow it down, hopefully stop it, but if not, at least slow it down, then you gain the most valuable thing that you need in a crisis situation, and that's time. Because with time, you can call 911. With time, you can lock the sanctuary down. With time, you can exercise your plan. So it's really important that pastors be thinking about what is our plan? You know, one of the other things I encourage, I've been getting questions all week. Well, what do we do? Well, the first thing you got to do is you got to make it a priority. You know, right. You got to, just like you would anything else, if worship's a priority, you meet, you sit down. Well, what kind of worship do we want? How are we going to do that? Well, the same mindset needs to be turned towards security now. You need to have some folks that are committed to keeping people safe. You need to meet with them, because you never, ever want church security to compete with the ministry.
Definitely.
And that's a question I get a lot. Well, don't those two compete? And I say, absolutely not. In my church, it's the security ministry. We have different gifts, but we're all about helping the right people get to the help that they need, not keeping people out. That's the opposite of what a church ministry team is.
Definitely. Well, I mean, a lot of churches may have sworn law enforcement officers as part of their, part of their congregation. They may have former military people who, also have experience carry permit holder that they could utilize. But I know there's this idea that everybody should carry and carry in the church. Is that a good idea?
No, I tell you, Shane, I'm a firearms instructor, and I train folks on how to use weapons. And I think it's a disastrous idea to start having people pick up guns and strap them on. With that awesome responsibility of a firearm comes an absolute requirement for good training.
Right.
And I'm not talking about that you go out to the range and you load the magazine and you put 10 rounds in the target and you, hey, good day. No, I'm talking about training that would enable you in a tactical situation to utilize that weapon to stop a threat.
Right.
The danger of a bunch of people having guns in one place that are not trained is you can imagine the collateral damage.
Oh, yeah.
Innocent people will die. Definitely. And so that's where that plan is so important. You know, if you're in a smaller church and you know who the gun carriers are, you do one of two things. You either say, hey, you come train with us, or you say, hey, we'd appreciate if you didn't carry, because we've got a team that's armed and trained, and right. We want them to respond.
Definitely. So just thinking about what happened in Texas, and I know a lot of smaller churches, how their buildings laid out. As far as, the churches need to consider, if they're building a new building, like their building plan, making sure they have multiple exits? Because I'm just thinking there are a lot of choke points, in a church building. A lot of place making it harder to run for cover if necessary. Is that something that pastors need to consider and church leaders need to consider?
Yeah, absolutely, Shane. And that's a really great point, because we're seeing churches that are just exploding, in growth with campuses everywhere. And let me just simplify it by saying you need to have a true security person, someone who's skilled in physical security assessments, part of that planning process, because while you're building it, that's the time to do it. Considering things like, hey, when I talk to churches, and especially church leaders, I tell them that you need the three T's of good church security. And first is the team, the right hearted team, the ministry minded team, and then the great good training that you need for that team. But then the third is the technology. And while you're in the building phase, that's when it's time to consider the technology. By technology, I'm talking cameras and radios, but I'm also talking about impact glass, alarms, panic alarms for your emergency lockdown doors for your children's ministry. All those things are relatively easy to put in the focus of your new building project if you have someone thinking towards that. Because you're exactly right. If you don't, and you're trying to come up with a plan without the things that you need, it makes it infinitely harder.
Definitely. Now, obviously the emphasis is on mass shootings, and those are really relatively rare, especially with the church, when a church is concerned. What are some other security threats that churches, that might be a little more common, that churches need to start thinking about as well?
Yeah, so I'm at a church of 9 campuses and 40,000. And I get asked that question, well, what's your greatest threat? Well, let me tell you what, my greatest threat is week after week dealing with mentally ill people. Now, the good news is the church is a hospital, that they should be able to come to the church and feel loved and accepted and hopefully get some help. But also that comes with a risk. And so one of the things we train our teams in is how to deal with mentally ill people. Because you're ministering to, remember, it's the church security ministry. It's not some, you know, SEAL Team 9, Delta 5 team. Right. It's a ministry. So our ability to process and handle mentally ill people, and by the way, we're going to be able to assess them. If we start hearing things that cause us concern, we'll be able to get them help sometimes through, you know, mental health channels that we have. So that's a major threat and that's or a major concern, I should say. And that's every weekend at our campus. We also deal with domestic issues, lots of child custody issues, divorce issues, pain, also deal with substance abuse issues. We also have people that just don't like what we're doing or what we're saying. I'm finding, you know, through social media and through other channels, we're just getting information that, hey, just so you know, Christ, you know, your church is in the radar. Well, I when I'm training teams, I remind them that security is about making something not happen. It's proactive in nature. Law enforcement tends to be reactive. You know, you get a call, you respond to it. Security is the opposite of that. It's proactive in nature. We would much rather have information that comes to us that allows us to identify, wow, this really is a problem, to get law enforcement engaged, which we do. And before anything ever happens, we're on it. That's what security is about.
Now, I notice some churches are in maybe tougher neighborhoods, and sometimes the threat is actually outside the building.
Right.
Are there ways churches can help address that to keep their congregants safe when they're coming to church?
Yeah, I think you know, part of the training, especially if you're in, you know, bad neighborhoods, is having some level of information that you can share with your congregation, your leadership, regarding just being aware. Understanding that, you know, when you're coming into the area, that you need to be paying attention. I think the greatest thief to our awareness is, you know, cell phones, smartphones, digital gadgets. And I think, you know, being alert, being aware, that's the greatest tool you have.
Definitely.
You know, is being able to identify a threat. Again, remember, security is about making it not happen. You can't do anything about a threat if you don't see it.
Definitely. So, also, there was news reported that the shooter in Texas had actually volunteered for a VBS program at one point in time. And this would have been probably after his domestic abuse charges and the time he spent in confinement in the Air Force, which speaks to the issue. How do you suggest churches go about screening volunteers? I'm sure that's probably something you handle on your end as well.
Yeah, it is. And my recommendation is, you know, many churches struggle with trying to pay the bills. And I would just challenge pastors and pastoral leadership that doing background investigations is not an option. You have to have a protocol for your church to conduct background investigations. We use, you know, a certain, you know, national vendor here, and it costs us, you know, but information is power. Our forms are designed to try to pull out the fact that a person, you know, may be struggling with mental illness or maybe struggling with some anger issues. And, you know, certainly the background is one step, but the personal interview, making sure that you're prayerfully and carefully considering people for different roles. You know, if you have a person that's really struggling with anger, probably not a good idea to put them in children's ministry. Kids can be frustrating at times. And so that's the wisdom that should precede any discussion about placing people. We do it for all our staff and our key volunteers. And we found, boy, that is an investment well worth it.
And, you know, one last question, because I only said I'd keep you for 15 minutes. And I want to honor that. Basically, I think there's a temptation to be fearful when we see these things happen. How would you encourage people to, you know, keep this in a perspective? And
That's a great question, Shane, because it really goes to the core of why we're doing what we're doing. When you think about what Scripture tells us about fear, God is not the author of fear. So who is? This is not about fear. This is about faith and wisdom. I like Nehemiah chapter 4 because Nehemiah said, "We prayed to our God and we posted a guard to meet this threat day and night." And I think that's kind of where we are. I think as a nation, we need to be praying a whole lot more, and we need to be posting a guard. And that's not done out of fear. It's done out of faith and wisdom. God, the Scripture is very clear. Our Lord told us that in the end times, things are going to get bad. I personally believe we're moving into those times. And so that shouldn't concern us, because we already know the rest of the story. We right. win. It's just this interim period that we need to be very faithful, very wise, and very diligent, because what happens in the church is supernatural. It is the answer to all of life's problems. When you have a relationship with the Lord, when you find him and you're able to begin to transform into his likeness, that's not just good for the church, that's good for everyone. Right. And so that's what we want to make sure we guard. We guard, you know, what the Lord is doing through his church that he died for. And none of that involves fear. We just can't go there. It's about wisdom and faithfulness.
Well, hey, Tim, thank you so much for your time. God bless you for your ministry. I appreciate it. And
thank you, brother. Not a problem.
All right. Take care, man.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, that concludes this episode of the Caffeinated Thoughts podcast. Thank you for listening. If you happen to be listening to this podcast somewhere other than on our website, please be sure to check out caffeinatedthoughts.com. That's caffeinatedthoughts.com. Or you can Google Caffeinated Thoughts. We'll come up at the top of the search screen. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Sign up for our emails. We appreciate you listening. Hey, until next time, my friends, take care.